whatever they are, appliances.
Okay. So tell me about the town that you were born in.
Well, the town I was born in was named Delinquent. It was situated 3 Russian miles from the biggest city in that territory called Grodno. Mm-hmm. Now my folks, my father and mother, were running a small grocery business. And they used to travel by horse and wagon to Grodno to do their buying. And when I was about 7, 8 years old, they used to take me with them, and my father used to take me when he'd go to Grodno to do his shopping. Mm-hmm. And I considered it a tremendous treat when we crossed the River Niemen into Grodno. To me, it was a marvelous city. Actually, it wasn't anything to rave about.
What's your earliest memory? What's your first memory?
The earliest memory that I can recall being picked up off of the muddy street after I was run over by horse and wagon. And I still carry a broken nose as a result of that accident.
How old were you?
I must have been about 4.
Who picked you up?
I don't remember. I remember somebody picked me up and brought me into that store where they put water pack on my face. I must have been bruised pretty bad. That's my earliest memory. Then I remember when I was brought into the cheder by my father. And the rabbi and they made a big to-do about showing me the olive thing.
Time out. Okay.
I must have been about 4 years old then.
When you went into the cheder?
Yeah.
What did they give you? Cookies and nuts and fruit?
They gave me, the rabbi had rozhenkis and mandlin.
What?
Rozhenkis and mandlin. And it's raisins and almonds.
Uh-huh.
There is a Yiddish song about that. That if you learn well, you will eat rozhenkis and mandlin.
Mm-hmm. How did you like the cheder?
Well, it's a terrible drudge because I would be brought to the cheder early in the morning, and I'd be confined in that big room with those other kids till dark. It gets monotonous mighty fast, but we all enjoy it. That's the life of the kids in the village. The Rebbe was not modern. He would wheel the stick. If you were irritated him in the least, he didn't mind if he whipped you.
Now, was he just the teacher, or was he also the Rebbe, the rabbi?
He was strictly what they call a malamed.
Right, a malamed.
But they called him, we called him Rebbe.
But he wasn't the spiritual leader.
No, he wasn't the Rebbe. We had an old man who was the rabbi. He was an aged person that I remember. But he had what they call a hadras konim, an imposing face with a long flowing white beard, and he was constantly at the books. He isn't like the modern rabbi we know of in our synagogues, because all I ever heard him make a sermon was before on Yom Kippur Eve, you know. But he would come in shul, and as soon as he'd arrive, they'd start davening. And whoever was important in the little village was seated right near the rabbi. He was seated right next to the Aron Kodesh. And and that's the Mizrach wall, you know, the eastern wall. And anybody that had a seat adjoining the eastern wall was somebody. You had to be wealthy, or more likely, well-educated, or elderly, or better yet, a combination of all of them.
Did anyone in your family sit there?
My grandfather.
Yeah. Wait, we'll get to him in a second. So your grandfather had a seat by the eastern wall.
Yeah. My grandfather was quite educated in Hebrew. He had what they call the chazaka, which is the privilege of davening shachris every holiday. That was his chore, or his honor, whichever you want to look at it. He considered it a big honor. It would hurt him immensely if he were denied that privilege. So he also was active in the shul, in activities such as gathering funds for Morris Chaikin, for relief of the poor, for getting together money for the poor, for buying them matzah, you know, provisions for Passover.
Was he a wealthy man?
He was not. Nobody was wealthy in that little town, but he was better off than most of them, because he had this his combination of business. He was a village smith, the only one. And the peasants used to come to him to have their wagons repaired, their horses shod, and he was always busy. He made a living that way. My father, although he was raised as in the same type of work, drifted away from it, and he became a storekeeper. He also engaged in other ventures, such as running a dairy once, I remember, for a while. He bought grain, bought and sold. He took a contract of selling provisions, whatever activity he engaged in. I don't know if he made any kind of money in it. He must have made something out of it, because that's what he did. But my grandfather was, as I said, quite educated.
And this is your father's father, right?
That's my father's father.
How many children did he have?
Oh, let's see. He had three sons. Elkin, Lashke, Mirke. Three daughters. Three sons and three daughters.
And your father was the youngest?
My father was the youngest. He was the baby of the family. That's why he stayed with his parents. Or vice versa. The parents stayed with him. My mother was the head of the house.
Your father's grandparents lived with you? With your parents? When you were
I don't home? Remember them at all. Not while I was around. No.
What about your mother's family?
They must have been dead. My mother's...
Where is she from?
My mother's mother died shortly after my mother got married. She must have died from a cancer.
Why do you say that?
Huh?
Why do you say that?
Well, she took sick and they couldn't cure her. She died.
Could have been.
Stomach trouble. Whatever I don't know for sure. She might have died from other disease.
But this is 1890, right? Or something like that when your parents got married?
Oh, no, earlier than that.
Could have been tuberculosis.
Could have been
infectious disease, typhus, typhoid.
Could have been anything. I know my grandmother died, my father's mother, when I was quite young, when I was about 5 years old. She complained of aches and pains in the inside, you know, and they took her to Gwedna and put her in a hospital, and she died there. And My grandfather lived until we, after we came to America. Mm-hmm. Before we came to America, my mother had to move out of the house that we lived in ever since she got married, and where she raised her children. That is a story by itself. If you want me to go into it,
I would like to do it.
My father had an older brother who married a girl in the city of Shtabin, a few miles away. I don't know what's there. I've never been there. It's another shtetl like Alinka. And he was a smithy there. But next, nearby his place, another blacksmith came in and opened his own blacksmith shop. And he happened to have been a Gentile, a goy. And gradually, my uncle's business, his work, dwindled. So he came to Alinka without my mother's knowledge. And he influenced my grandfather to let him come into Alinka and take over his business. My grandfather was getting old and he wasn't doing too much work already. So my mother didn't know anything about it. And one nice day, my uncle showed up with two wagon loads of his furniture and housewares and tools, and crowded in the house with his family, wife and children and himself, plus the grandfather. They took over the kitchen, they took over the house, except one room, which was left for my mother and the kids, her kids.
How old were you at this point?
I must have been about 9. Mm-hmm.
Your father was in America already.
My father was already in America. And we were talking of leaving for America. So that way my grandfather was influenced to do that. My mother thought it was a terrible injustice. She rented a little apartment, a vacant house, a part of a house, nearby in the shtetl, where we moved over for a short while, probably a couple, 3 months or so, and then we left for America.
That caused a lot of bitterness?
That caused terrific bitterness between my mother and her brother-in-law and her father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Well, who owned the house?
Well, my mother thought her mother thought that my dad owned it.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather thought that he owned it all the time. Where the truth lies, I don't know. Chances are that both owned it, you know.
How old were you when your father left with... He left with Rosie and Pete, right?
No, he left himself.
Yeah. How old were you then?
How old was I then?
Yeah.
I imagine about 7.
And then he brought over...
I say I imagine. I couldn't have been over 8. Somewhere between 7 and 8. And...
One second. Go ahead.
Am I talking about...
No, you're all right. You're doing fine.
A year later, I must have been 8 or at least 8. A year later, we came. No. Then, a year later, Pete and Rosie left for America. And, imagine about 6 months or so later, we plowed.
Do you remember the house that you spent the first 9 years of your life in that same house, except for the last 3 months?
I remember that house.
What was it like? How would you describe it?
Come here, sit if you want.
No, I'm going to get ready.
You can sit if you want, Mom.
The house was built of logs, and it had a shingle roof, which most of the houses had thatched roofs. But the barn in the back had a thatched roof. One side of the left side of the house was a store where we kept groceries. To the right was the living quarters, a front room, a dining room, big kitchen with a stove, built-in oven.
That was a big Russian stove, right?
A big Russian oven.
You could sleep on top.
You could sleep over on top. It had a little entrance, like an entrance to a cave, where you could sleep over the oven, yes. I used to love to do that. My grandfather and I used to take a siesta.
It was probably very warm in the winter time.
Yeah. A big back kitchen and there was a couple of bedrooms on both sides of the kitchen, an outhouse in the yard, and a barn where we kept a cow and a horse.
Did you have wood flooring on the floor?
No. It was clay, I think, or packed mud.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know it was packed down. We used to cover it with fine yellow sand every so often. And we'd sweep out the old sand with the dirt, with a besom, they call it, which was made out of twigs, you know, and just cover with fresh yellow sand.
What about furniture?
Well, we had furniture, chairs, and tables, and beds. The mattresses were of packed straw, but the coverings were made of down feather beds.
How did they heat the house in the wintertime?
Well, it was better warm near the oven. It would be cold away from it. But the it was pretty well insulated. Between the logs, there was always packed moss or whatever it was.
Was your mother originally from Olenka too?
No, she came out of Stabil. My brother-in-law was the shadchan of my father and mother.
The one who eventually pushed your mother out of the house?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I want to know. How did your parents get married? Do you know how they met? Was it a match?
He wasn't. My uncle was the matchmaker.
This is your father's brother.
It was my father's older brother. Now, my mother was the older daughter, the older daughter of my grandfather and grandmother. She lived with her mother. Her father was in America. Romea was his name, Romea Moretzky.
That's who I'm named after.
Huh?
That's who I'm named after, isn't it?
Yeah. He was in America a long, long time. He took over in this country his two sons and a daughter. But his wife couldn't go because she was sick. My mother stayed and took care of her.
Moretzky was your mother's maiden name?
Moretzky was my mother's maiden name. Well, my uncle introduced my father to my mother, and they decided to have her make a shidduch. She's supposed to have been an heiress, because she had a father in America, and an American man would be a millionaire. Well, it turned out he wasn't a millionaire. He was far from it. He was making a poor living as a tailor in a second-hand and pawn shop.
Where?
In Detroit, on Michigan Avenue. He worked for the same man about 50 years. He lived to be a ripe old age.
Did you ever meet him?
Oh, yeah.
When you came to this country?
When we came to this country, we came to Detroit.
Is that the reason you went to Detroit?
Huh?
Is that the reason you went to Detroit?
No, because we came to Detroit because my father met us there.
Yeah.
However, he lived in Battle Creek.
But is the reason that he went to Michigan because your mother's father was there already?
Yeah. He is the one that sent him a shift card, a passage to come to America.
So it wasn't...
So my father was going to come to America just for a little while to make his fortune and get rich and come back with his fortune. Mm-hmm. When he got here, the fortune was hard to get by. And he had nothing to come back to. Anyhow, my mother wrote him what happened.
That your uncle had pushed
the
him
uncle
out.
Has appropriated the house and business. Everything. So he sent us a little money, and Mama sold whatever she could, and we came to America.
Well, which kids did she take over then?
Let's see. I was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And Marion and Anna, three kids.
What were their names? They weren't called Marion and Anna in Russian, were they?
Khane, Mirke and Khanke, and Label.
Mm-hmm. What happened to all the Moretzkys? They're obviously relatives, right?
Yeah.
Did you know any of them, your mother's uncle?
Yeah.
Were they called Moretzkys in...
Met Shmuel Moretzky, who lived in Grand Rapids, and he had a soft drink manufacturing business. We had another uncle, Abe Moretzky, who lived in Detroit, and he was a junk dealer.
How come the family drifted apart? You never were close to this side of your mother's family?
Mirka Moretzky was married to Eisenberg, and they were in the junk business in Pontiac. We're friendly, but we were never close because we never lived close together. And but when I was in Detroit, I was most of the time at my Aunt Mirka, because my father left me in Detroit when he took the family to Grand Rapids. To Battle Creek. He left me in Detroit to study on to become a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
To learn Torah, you know.
Were you the only one designated to be the rabbi? What about Pete?
No, I was the only one, because Pete never wanted to learn and never kept on in cheder.
Mm-hmm.
He never made any headway. but I was real bright in my learning.
You showed promise, huh?
I showed, yes, unfortunately.
Well, how many people do you think lived in Olinka? Do you have any idea?
What?
How many people lived in Olinka? Do you have any idea?
I'd have to make an educated guess. I would think about 400.
And all of them were Jewish?
About 350 of them.
Was there just one synagogue for the whole town?
One synagogue.
How many families were there?
Two churches.
How many families were there? How many family groups were there? Do you have any idea? Were there like a dozen or two dozen, three dozen families?
More than that. I'd say about 100.
Well, in what position did your family occupy in the social hierarchy of the town?
Well, there was no upper crust in that town because there were a lot of poor Jews, mostly peddlers, they go scrounging around the countryside trying to make a buck or a ruble. We had one man who might be called the upper crust. He was looked up by some and despised by a lot of the old timers because he wore a tie and a shirt and a hat. He subscribed to a Jewish daily. He was called Der Deutsch.
The German.
The German. Kalveria Deutsch. A sneering term.
Mm-hmm.
He operated a business too. He had the only dry goods business, a miniature department store. He had yard goods, handkerchiefs, spreads and things. So he was the upper crust. His family. His son didn't go to no theater. He went to private tutor and wound up in the gymnasium, public high school, wore a uniform, talked Russian. Mm-hmm. So this family was aloof. And they were our next door neighbors. But we had nothing to do with them.
Did they have yellow sand on the floor too?
No, they had a modern house, more like they have in Germany. By the way, Germany was not very far from us.
Prussia.
From Prussia, the distance. Because we crossed the border to Prussia by stealth early in the morning because we didn't have a permit to leave Russia. They had to smuggle us across. He had a nice looking house. I was never in it.
Did your mother shave her head when she got married?
No, she never did.
Was that the custom of the town, not to shave the head?
Very few did that. Amongst our Yidden, they never insisted on the women shaving their heads and wearing a shaitel. A few did. But they were the exception.
So you weren't the upper crust, but you weren't the poorest either.
No, we were. We had always had good, plenty of food and a good home. We were moderately well off.
Why is it that, did your parents know each other before they got married, or?
I doubt it.
Or they were really a match.
This was really a match, yeah.
And they met on their wedding then, basically.
Well, he met my mother before.
Yeah.
But there was no courtship, you know, that. Like the modern time. That wasn't a thing then.
Do you think they loved each other?
Yeah.
Did they get along pretty good?
Certainly, they did. That they did. There was no divorces to that. It was hardly ever heard of, and was all matched marriages. But the matchmakers generally knew how to pair them off.
Well, it's true that there were no divorces, but there were probably a lot of unhappy marriages.
Not any more than the. In the modern marriages, even though there are problems that amongst marriages that does not necessarily end up in divorce.
Did your mother complain that your father left her there with three kids?
No. No, because she wanted him to go. She never complained. She complained he wasn't sending enough money. Never enough. But it had nothing to do with being left behind.
Do you remember your parents as being affectionate to each other? Or was that?
That wasn't expected.
But you feel they were considered?
They were affectionate, but not in our presence.
And did you feel that they had a deep feeling for one another?
Oh, sure.
Did they ever argue?
All married couples argue occasionally. But it was not in a vindictive, no. They had a good life together.
You feel like they were content with each other?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, I think they were well matched.
What was their personalities like? What was your mother like?
My mother was a very pleasant person. She was outgoing. Made friends very easily. She was bright in her ways, you know. She wasn't educated, but she was smart. Mm-hmm. My father, on the other hand, he was smart in a lot of ways and simple-minded in some way. You know what I mean? I don't know if I can express it. He was very religious, but very tolerant. When I came back from New York, and I told him I don't want to lake fill no more, and I don't want to daven every day. I know it hurt him terribly, just that he didn't. He shrugged his shoulders and said, "Well, you're past bar mitzvah, it's your decision." So, I loved him, but we never could see eye to eye because he was very religious and I was irreligious.
It doesn't sound like anyone in the family was really religious, any of them?
Nobody.
Do you think that was a deep disappointment to him?
Must have been. Because he was very, very religious. He was fanatic.
Did he like to fill in?
He really believed that Mashiach will come on a nasal. On an ass, to his very dying day, he believed it. He loved Israel, but he said that maybe that's the way Mashiach wants it, so he can come in his own kind of people, to his own kind of people in the land. He's got to come. Otherwise, he was a fine person.
Who do you think was your parents' favorite?
Amongst his children?
Yeah.
No one. We're all as different as, we're all very different, isn't we?
Mm-hmm.
All different. My sister Rosie was more like my father. Except that she wasn't pious.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't show any favoritism to any of them. What about your mother? Did she show any favoritism?
No, she loved all her children. I can't think of her showing any favoritism. She loved us all. She, with a deep love. Or she'd give the last bite to any of us. because she was good that way. You could always come to my mother's and be accepted, and she'd make a spread for anybody that came to the house.
Do you think your parents were happy in America?
Yeah.
They never talked of the good old days?
No, they never regretted. Maybe my father deep down wished that he never left the old country. Maybe he never expressed himself. But actually, his children grew up here, and he took pride in his children. He did.
Did they have any weaknesses, do you think?
Any what?
Weaknesses or any flaws in their character?
Well, is there anybody perfect?
No, of course not.
If they have any flaws, it wasn't apparent. It couldn't have been bad. There was no flaws or weakness in any of us that's outstanding. My father's children turned out decent people.
What about when your mother came to this country and was reunited with her father? How did she take to that?
Well, my grandfather, was closer to Mirke and Abe because he watched them grow up. They were together, you know. My mother was already married and grew up. He left her when she was a baby. And she didn't see him till she came to America. Oh, he came to the wedding.
He did?
Yeah, from America. He came to the wedding. And he made the wedding. Paid them a dowry.
The dowry?
The dowry. And went back. And he didn't see her again for many years. So there wasn't that closeness of a father and daughter as it was to the other children who grew up under his nose. Mm-hmm.
Did he ever remarry?
Oh yes, he remarried 4 or 5 times.
Really? This is your mother's father?
Yeah.
How did he manage that? He outlived all his wives, or he divorced them, or?
He divorced too. And he buried 2. And he lived with the one we met when we came to this country. Until he died.
How old was he when he died?
He was about 90.
He
He was a beautiful looking man. So was my other grandfather. Both of my grandfathers were beautiful physiques.
Do you know anything about the origins of your family? I mean, had they like lived in Olinco for generations on generations? Or was there any stories like they... I mean, what was the impact of history on them? For example, Napoleon or something like that? Or
I don't know.
That was never discussed?
Never discussed previous generations. I know they lived there... One generation passed my grandfather.
Your my
grandfather was born in Olinka and raised in Olinka. Mm-hmm. But I never met my great grandfather. They were settled old timers there.
What about your... What became of your father's brothers and sisters, to your knowledge?
Well...
He had two brothers and three sisters, right? He was the younger guy.
One brother, after my father got married, the oldest brother, Max, and his wife came to Olinka to say goodbye to their father. And my father took him across the Grenitz, that's the border, to Germany. That's where you had to go in order to board ship. He stole the border. He loaded up a load of hay and he put him in the center of the haystack. And he went across the border to sell the hay to a hay merchant in Germany. Well, the soldiers examined the wagon and they stuck their bayonet into the hay. They were pretty well concealed when he took them across. I remember when we were crossing the border. We went from Olinka to Yagiston, which is not far from there. From the border. It's a pretty large town. My mother had a friend there. We spent the day and night there. And at night, they drove us out to a farmhouse close to the border. And my family, my mother and the kids, and another family were hidden in the barn behind the house where we spent the rest of the night. And early in the morning, the farmer woke us up and led us to the border where there was a little bridge crossing. There was a small river, you know, a brook, dividing the two countries. And there was a little bridge, narrow bridge, and they had Russian soldiers parading, watching that cross point. And early in the morning, they changed the guard. And that's the time, while they were busy changing the guard, he slipped us across the bridge into Germany. Now, we came to a village in Germany, and there was a wagon waiting for us there, and took us to a depot.
Who set all this up? Who arranged
it? The agents. They had
like professionals.
Professional agent.
What would have happened if you'd have been caught?
Would have been too bad. I don't know what would have happened. But they had a professional part of the deal. You know, I was a child. I don't know how it was arranged. It took us...
Were you scared?
Hmm?
Were you scared?
No. I was too young to be scared. I guess my mother was scared.
Were you excited? How did you feel?
Well,
how did you feel about leaving Olenka?
I was young. To me, it was an exciting
adventure.
Yeah, it was excitement.
Did you have
nice.
Did you have any feelings about leaving behind friends or anything?
No. I looked forward to go to America.
What did you think was going to be there?
The golden Medina, you know. No, but I was a child. Well, after all, I was no older than 10.
So you went through this, you met the agent on the German side, and they took you to a train depot?
The agent was invisible. It was all arranged. We met a horse and wagon who waited for us. He drove us to a train. He bought the tickets for us, and we got on the train, and we traveled.
Had you ever been on a train?
We traveled to Bremen. No, never saw a train. That was exciting. We traveled to Bremen.
Bremen's a pretty big city.
That was a big city. Yeah. And we wound up in an immigrant house. Where we spent a few days waiting for the ship. Finally, we boarded the ship. And that's when I took sick. On the ship, I got seasick very badly. In the hold, you know, we were in the hold, I was deathly sick.
You stayed in the hold?
I stayed in the hold till the last couple of days.
How long?